League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
And it is time to fire it up again. I'm sitting next to the Monday Night Delight, Carla Dawson. Welcome in.
Glad to be here. I had such a good Sunday yesterday. You want to know why?
Why?
At the end of the day, I'm like, why am I in such a good mood? Yes, the Texans won. The Raiders had a bye week. When you are a princess of darkness, at this point, a bye week is an aha moment.
Jose, it's like a see spa what makes day. Her happy?
So you're very happy during the off season, is what you're telling us.
I live for the off season right now. Absolutely. Woo.
Well, this is an interesting moment we go on the air because you, the longstanding Princess of Darkness, longstanding Raiders fan, I, a longstanding, now suffering Dallas Cowboys fan.
You're welcome.
We made a trade today.
We made a trade.
And I don't know, you and I didn't sit down and work this out.
No, but we play nicely in the sandbox. So I give you Amari Cooper, yes. You give me your top sandbox.
Are you feeling like this was a good deal? The trade, of course, Amari Cooper going to the Cowboys for the Cowboys first round pick next year. Do you like this trade for the Raiders?
I like it for the Raiders because they haven't been able to get Amari Cooper's full potential.
Yes.
Do you like it as a Cowboys fan?
I'm a little concerned we may never get the full potential. Cowboys not known for really developing wide receivers, and that offense has not been very creative. They're not finding unique ways to get receivers open. I think they're going to have to see a different, better version of Amari Cooper. And I'm not sure that's there. And to give up a number one draft pick in a day when salary cap management is so critical and those first rookie contracts are essential to building a good team, I question whether the Cowboys should have made this move.
Well, I'll tell you, that's why GM in Oakland, Reggie McKenzie, jumped on this. You got a first round pick, and they probably weren't going to re-sign Amari Cooper.
You're already rubbing it in. She's rubbing it in.
We'll see. I think I gave you a gift, so just say you're welcome.
Well, he steps in immediately as the number one wide receiver of the Dallas Cowboys.
And there you have it.
And that's not saying a lot because he's lining up next to, now, Cole Beasley, a very good slot receiver, but nobody looks at him as the number one.
And they might use Amari Cooper in the slot.
Well, they can move him around. We'll see. When we come back, though, we're going to talk a little college football. I'm going to tell you that the Gloss thinks she's got about three of the four finalists for the college football playoff identified. When we come back, you'll hear that from the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
So when we went to break, I mean, it was an amazing tease before the break that when we would come back, we would learn from the gloss how it's all going to shake out in the college football playoffs. And there is some clarity coming. I mean, Ohio State's loss this weekend to Purdue was pretty head-turning.
It wasn't even a loss. I would call it a full-on spanking. It was domination by an unranked Purdue that started the season 0-3.
How did that happen? I mean, I thought Ohio State was going, well, they were going to win the Big Ten championship, and they were one of the Final Four.
I'll tell you who not to blame for that loss is Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah, no, he's a stud.
He's a stud, and he had a great night. I mean, look at his line. It's beautiful. 49 for 73 for 470 yards and two touchdowns. The problem is, Urban, your boys are soft.
Yeah,
your boys are soft. You're a one-dimensional team. They lack the defensive foundation. They lack a physical power game. They're relying on the finesse that Haskins brings them. They need more behind that guy.
Well, they don't have a great offensive line. They weren't able to carry the ball. They averaged just under 3 yards per carry against Purdue. They aren't moving the ball the old-fashioned way. This is not a Big Ten team.
No, it's not. Big Ten is tough. They're blue-collar. They get in there, and they're physical. This is not what's going on with Ohio State.
And when the weather is cold on November 24th and they play Michigan, they're not built for that kind of game.
Oh, that's going to be a biggie.
Great game coming up. Michigan now on the short list of teams that could find their way in. But let's look at the teams that really seem to be locks to get in. I mean, Alabama, barring a colossal upset, will be in the Final Four. They'll make the college football playoffs. Let's give Alabama the spot.
Yes, you know how they have outscored opponents this season? 165-31.
It's crazy.
And they play in the SEC.
Yeah, that's 3-1, basically. And it's an offense that we've never seen with Nick Saban before. It's sort of funny. Sometimes it seems like he's uncomfortable with it. He's more comfortable. His personality is defense, and now he's got a lighted-up offense.
The only test that I see that they have coming up could be LSU in 2 weeks. There's a bye week for LSU, and then we'll see. They're 7-1, and that's really about it for Alabama.
Yep.
So I think they've locked it up. Number one, I don't see anyone who can take them down.
Okay, so you've got Alabama in your Final Four. Let's go to Clemson. And Clemson's looking pretty strong.
Oh,
and they're number two, and they were hitting on all cylinders. They've got a running game and a passing game.
Okay, who's your favorite?
Well,
who's your favorite for the Tigers?
Hair.
Go ahead and say
There's
it.
There's something about long hair flowing underneath a helmet.
Trevor's your boy.
Long hair, don't care. Trevor Lawrence, great quarterback. He's really lighting it up for Clemson.
He had a career best 308 yards against the Wolfpack, the only other undefeated team in the ACC. I mean, his downfield passing game was terrific. Travis Etienne, I can't get enough of that guy. Three touchdowns on Saturday against North Carolina State. I mean, he is so powerful, dynamic, fantastic. He's your go-to guy. So I love that they've got this dynamic passing game that just seems to be getting better and better and still hasn't peaked yet. And then an absolutely tough, incredible running game with Etienne.
Well, it is amazing that they made the change from Kelly Bryant, who was so good, frankly.
So good.
And Trevor Lawrence has made no one look back.
No, it's so true.
And it's not clear where Kelly Bryant is now, but he's disappeared into the ether.
No, and I'm really disappointed in that. I wanted a Jalen Hurts type of story.
Right.
I love what Jalen Hurts did. He's still part of the team. It's about the team. Clearly with Kelly Bryant, that wasn't the situation. And that's too bad.
Okay, so you're putting Clemson in there.
I'm putting Clemson in there, especially looking at the remaining schedule
yes.
that they have, which is Louisville, Boston College, Duke, and South Carolina. Anything
Cupcakes.
Can happen. But on paper, I'm not worried about the four of them.
Yeah, no, that's a cupcake schedule the rest of the way. Clemson's in. We'll give Alabama and Clemson as two of the spots. Now, Notre Dame is finding its way into the conversation. They are currently ranked number three in most polls, and they are another team that really doesn't have a tough schedule left to play. They have a cupcake schedule the rest of the way. It would be a surprise to me if Notre Dame loses. And they don't have to play a conference championship game. I mean, they really ought to just win out. Never has the opportunity been so ripe.
I know, it really has. And what it also, two things about Notre Dame. You mentioned the schedule, and you're exactly right. They've got coming up in order, Navy, Northwestern, Florida State, Syracuse, and USC. And honestly, the toughest contest I see in that is Syracuse. Unranked, but they're tough. They push Clemson to the limit. So that could be one to watch you know, don't let them sneak up on you. But Notre Dame, with the strength that they, their strength of schedule, where they could go completely undefeated, Michigan lost to Notre Dame week one by a touchdown.
Yep.
That really bolsters Michigan's case for that number four spot that I have a question mark in.
Right.
Obviously, it's going to depend how they do against Ohio State. That's really probably going to determine it. But really, their loss against Notre Dame will bode well with the committee because Notre Dame is so strong.
Okay, that's fair. So your top three teams would be Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. And to get to this fourth spot, you're looking for Michigan, which would have to finish as the Big Ten champion.
Yes.
And they've got some roadblocks ahead of them. I mean, Penn State, Ohio State still left on their schedule.
It's not easy.
It's not easy. Penn State, Ohio State, and the Big Ten championship game. So they've got to win three big ones down the stretch, but then they would really naturally slot in there as the fourth team.
And I don't see them as a for sure. I think there's a race for number four.
Sure.
LSU's in there, too.
Well, yeah, but I see LSU losing in 2 weeks to Alabama. I mean, then they would have two losses. I just see them slipping out.
Yeah, that could be. That could be. But, you know, I'll tell you what. The SEC is a lot tougher conference than the Big Ten. The Big Ten is very top-heavy.
Yep.
But then you've got the Rutgers. You've got the Indianas. You've got those type of schools. So if it came down to Michigan and LSU both having two losses,
yes,
then you look at the conferences and you look at who their losses were to. No one is going to dock you for losing to Alabama.
No, that's fair. I mean, Georgia's sitting out there.
Georgia's
with
one
loss today as we stand. They do have to face Florida and Kentucky, number 9 and number 12 ranked teams coming up. If Georgia could win out, that would be impressive. Then they'd get to the SEC championship game, and then it'd be a – but see, then, of course, after the assuming they would lose to Alabama, then they would have two losses. LSU could have two losses, both of which would be one loss to Alabama in those cases. There will be some – there'll probably be some one-loss team that is either the Big Ten champion, like Michigan, or the Big 12 champion. In this case, I would project Oklahoma, but perhaps Texas. One-loss team from either the Big 12 or the Big Ten that could make a great case to be the fourth team in that Final Four.
Do you like Texas at number six?
No, I don't. I think it's a product that they beat Oklahoma. But no, I think that just the strength of schedule – outside of the Oklahoma victory, they beat a really not a very impressive USC team. They struggled against teams like Baylor. I just don't see Texas worthy of the number six ranking at this moment in time.
No, I agree. And they, you know, that TCU, that was at the time a big win, but we've now seen that it's not really a big win. So I don't think the Big 12 is really that strong.
Right.
You know, they had big wins against Tulsa. Well,
That's not a power five.
Well, it's not a power five conference.
No.
And if you're number six in the nation, why were we getting excited about that? And why did you lose to Maryland?
Right.
Now, Maryland was the first game of the year. I'll give them that. But I'll tell you, I think that not only the Big 12 under Bob Bowlesby, but I think the College Football Playoff Selection Committee, they want Texas to be relevant. Like, football's good when Texas is good. So I think this is a little bit of false comeuppance for these guys. I mean, hey, I could be wrong, but at this point, I think six is pretty generous for the Longhorns.
Well, Texas would have to win the Big 12 championship game, perhaps against Oklahoma. And if they could pull all that off, they would deserve consideration. But again, then their big quality wins would be two wins over Oklahoma under that scenario. And I don't know if that's enough.
Let's say they win out.
Yes.
Let's say Michigan wins out.
Right.
They each have one loss. Texas's loss is to Maryland in week one. Michigan's is to Notre Dame in week one. There's not even a question of who gets in.
If a one-loss Big Ten champion Michigan is up against a one-loss Big 12 champion, either Texas or Oklahoma, yeah, I think Michigan gets that fourth spot.
And credit what Commissioner Bob Bowlesby has done in the Big 12, bringing back the championship game. First time since 2010.
They
needed to do that.
Big 12 needs that.
They need that.
Frankly,
they need some parity.
The schedule inside the Big 12 is not that impressive. Now, West Virginia is sitting out there. They're number 13 in the Big 12, and that could be a quality win for either Texas or Oklahoma down the stretch.
Absolutely. Don't you love Notre Dame? They just stay out of the conference. Well, they don't deal with that.
They don't have to face it. No, Notre Dame's path is clear. All right, you've heard it. From the Gloss herself, she's currently got Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and then probably Michigan as her fourth choice. That would be the College Football Playoffs if we finish out as projected. When we come back, we're going to get a real treat. We're going to get to talk to a former Notre Dame alum, Joe Theismann. He also happens to have a Super Bowl ring. Joe Theismann, we'll ask him about his Notre Dame team and whether he thinks they have the staying power to finish in the college football playoffs. Joe Theismann when we return on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
When it comes to safety, there's nothing more important than your vehicle's brakes. Trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the brakes that are an exact fit for your vehicle. Brands you trust like BrakeBest, BrakeBest Select, and Wagner Thermo Quiet. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the brake parts and accessories you need at guaranteed low prices. Okay, joining us now on the Bet DSI guest line is Joe Theismann, a former Super Bowl champion. Joe, welcome into the show.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Carla. Good to catch up with you guys.
Well, thanks. Really appreciate you joining us. You know, we were just talking some Notre Dame football. You're a Notre Dame alumnus. Let's start with a little college football. I really want to get to the pros, but how are you feeling about Notre Dame? Do you think they can go the distance here?
I'm excited. Yeah, I think Pittsburgh was a great test. Coming off of the traveling to Virginia Tech was a great test. Starting with Michigan, I think the win in Michigan sort of launched this football team a little bit. Ian Book has come on, and he hasn't played as well as he did early on, but certainly the week off I think will just allow him opportunity to get better and better. So I'm excited about where Notre Dame is going. But I think Navy has always been somewhat of a thorn in our side. And then I think one of the great tests coming up in a week or so is going to be the Florida State game and, of course, Syracuse. Based upon what we have seen in college football through the course of this particular year, there isn't anybody that's unbeatable other than Alabama. And Clemson got close to getting beat. Ohio State got trounced. But to me, Alabama is there, and then everybody else is sort of looking for the opportunity to play them.
Yep.
Yeah, it's so true, and I think we just keep seeing that year after year, Joe, with Alabama. Looking at one of your other former teams, the mighty Redskins, so we saw the Chiefs dump Alex Smith to go with Patrick Mahomes. So your impression so far of Alex Smith with the Redskins, and is he the future for the Skins?
Well, I don't think he's the future. At 34 years old, Carla, there's obviously a time frame that they're working in. And, you look at Alex at 34, Eli at, 37, Tom Brady at 55, whatever number he's at right now. I mean,
when you get above 40, it's all mush in there.
That's right. It's all relative. If we want to check a birth certificate, Tom's would be a great one to check at any point in time. But, and then Philip Rivers in San Diego, you look around the league, and it isn't just Washington that has some of the older quarterbacks. That's five teams that are going to be looking in the future. But, Alex has not played to the standard, I think, that he feels like he can play to. New Orleans was not a good game for him. And truthfully, against the Cowboys, he missed some opportunities. And the thing is when he misses them, you sort of just shake your head because you don't expect it. He's played at such a high level. And it's when something happens like it did in the Dallas game, it's like, wow, it doesn't look like Alex. But I know, he's going to keep on learning. And it's a new system to him. And so he'll get better and better and better as we go. I thought our defense played great football. That's really what we've been able to hang our hat on against Carolina. We had a chance to, they hung on against Dallas. They made a mistake that allowed them to miss a field goal. And so, our defense continues to keep us in a game. And I think once the offense gets in stride, we're going to be we can beat anybody in the NFC.
So, Joe, you bring up a good point in talking about Alex Smith that, he's getting used to a new system. So it seems like to me when I look across the NFL and I look at Brady and Belichick, Mahomes and Reed, and, Jared Goff and Sean McVay now, is it from your experience, too, when you've got the right coach and the right system, that's how you get a great quarterback? Or does the great quarterback make the other two work?
No, the system has to complement the quarterback. The players around the position have to complement the quarterback. Carla, for years I've said this. The quarterback position is the single most dependent position on the field. Mm. Look at what Tariq Hill has done down in Kansas City.
So true.
Look at Todd Gurley with the Rams. Those are two individuals that are invaluable. When Jared Goff came into the league, he did not have Todd Gurley. He was hurt that year. Everybody said, Jared's a bust. All of a sudden, Todd Gurley shows up, and he wins awards, and he's just a game changer. And then Tariq's the same way when it comes to throwing the ball. I mean, he dropped one the other night. Every game, Andy's going to run that crossing post pattern, and he's going to run away from everybody. And Pat's got the norm. What benefited, I thought, Pat Mahomes a lot was playing behind Alex Reed. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at all the young guys that are out there trying to get it done, and gosh, your heart has to go out to Cleveland. How many more overtime games are they going to lose? I mean, God, you know,
one, two, and one.
I mean,
yeah. Wow.
Give me a break. I mean, they're a shake away from 5-1 or whatever the number would be. Instead, their record isn't that good. But the young guys have to go through the learning process, and the only way you do it is go out, play, and make mistakes and learn from them.
We're talking to Joe Theismann, a former NFL Super Bowl champion. Let's ask you about these young quarterbacks. Who has stood out to you the most, or who at this moment do you say, he's the one I can see really having a great NFL career?
Well, you know, again, it depends on the people around them. If there's consistency in the coaching staff, I think Sam Darnold has a chance. Love everything about his fundamentals, his athleticism, the way he throws the ball. And I think Baker Mayfield has a chance to grow into the position. Those two in particular have been very impressive. You know, Josh Rosen is out there in Arizona with not a lot around him, and you see the results. You know, people ask me many times, they'll say, what do you think the most valuable asset that a quarterback can possess? What is that asset? I said, a great defense. You know, a great defense will bail you out more times than not. This is a statistic that people don't realize. Actually, there's two. In Super Bowl 17, when we beat the Miami Dolphins, the Dolphins were 0 for 17 in the second half. They did not complete a pass in the second half of that Super Bowl. And in 1983, when we were 16-2, we lost two games that year going into the Super Bowl by 1 point each, one to Dallas and one to Green Bay. We were plus 43 in the giveaway-takeaway ratio. Hmm. If you want to have some fun, Google giveaway-takeaway ratios and see who the next closest team is. Somewhere maybe in the teens or 20s. I mean, we had a great football team that defensively, I think, allowed us to do a lot of things. But, you know, I think that those two kids, to me, are starting to step up and step out.
Okay, so we talked to some new coaches. Joe, what about new quarterbacks? New coaches with Mike Vrabel in Tennessee. So yesterday, he decided to go for two against the Chargers in London. You know, since 2015 in Tennessee, they have failed on their last seven conversion attempts. You know, going back 3 years, did he make the right decision? And is that something a new coach move?
Well, I think it is. I think it's, you know, Mike sending a message. He doesn't care about the previous six times because it wasn't him. I mean, you know that a little bit of Bill Belichick has rubbed off on Mike Vrabel, probably a lot. There's been a lot of influence by different coaches and, you know, players that have become coaches. I think Mike felt like he had an opportunity. I mean, you know, Marcus is playing pretty well. You know, Mariota is doing some good things. It looks like he's starting to get a little bit more in stride and getting more comfortable with what they're doing. I thought it was a heck of a football game, and you know, I give them credit. They weren't going to, you know, it wasn't going to be let's go to overtime. It's let's win it. And I think it says something to your football team. And when a guy sits in a meeting room and a coach sort of just takes a tie, it's like, I wonder if he really believes in us. Mm-hmm. And then you go for it, and it's like, you know what? We can't let him down the next time. So I think it was as much, it wasn't a good move for the win-loss column, but I think it was a good move psychologically.
We're talking to Joe Theismann. Joe, I'd love to ask you about Blake Bortles and the Jaguars. He seemed to finish really strongly last year, and this year has been a tough season. He just got benched yesterday. He's going to start this Sunday. Do you think the Jaguars are looking back wishing they'd done something different in the offseason to get a different quarterback?
Yeah, I do. I really do. I mean, it's, you know, Blake hasn't had a very good season going forward. I think, you know, they made a commitment. They made a decision. And, you know, it's a little bit like Case Keenum in Denver. You know, you're going to go through good games and bad games, but getting benched, that's where it really gets tough. And Cody Kessler didn't come in and really change the landscape that much. I guarantee you, I didn't see the press conference, but I'll guarantee you this was the press conference when it came to you know, what was being said. You know, Coach Marone probably said, well, we just felt like we wanted to make a change. The quarterback position is really the only change where we feel like we can make an impact on the football team to try and change the momentum. Even though we did it in this game, we still believe in Blake, and he's going to be our starter. That was the press conference. I didn't see it, but that's usually what they say when they put the guy who was benched back in. Now, this is like a second opportunity for him, though. I mean, you've had your first opportunity was the money they gave you to stay there. Second opportunity is, look, You know, you've got to go out and do things. The quarterback position is an interesting position, guys, because it isn't as much going out and winning football games, although you'll be called upon to do that. You can't make mistakes that cause the team to lose. And don't buy into this theory, well, you know, one play doesn't make a difference in a game. Hey, I threw an interception before half in a Super Bowl. The score went from 14-3 to 21-3, okay? One play does make a difference. And, you know, I've been on the unfortunate wrong end of one of them. And then I was fortunately on the other end of one in Super Bowl 17 when I had a chance to knock a ball away from Kim Bokamp and save a touchdown for them. So, you know, I mean, it's, you know, Blake's nervous. He's been served. Okay, notice has been served. Look, I benched you once. I won't think twice about it again. And they have to go shop.
Fair enough. That's Joe Theismann. Joe, thank you so much for joining. It's really great to have you here on the Boston the Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
Enjoyed it. Thank you. And the Texans got one. Way to go.
Yes, we did.
Thank you, Joe.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Everybody loves Bruno Mars, maybe especially Carla Dawson.
With a little Cardi B on top.
Yep. Little dancing. Gladys Knight, by the way, across the street as we broadcast live here in Houston. Gladys
Did she bring Knight? The pips?
That's no pips. Know. The pips are done. But what we do have is...
Jose's so young, he doesn't even know who they are.
We have Gladys Knight next segment. Yes, a little Gladys Knight song. All right, Jeff Zell is joining us. He is on the ground at Monday Night Football. Jeff, you've got an update for us?
Yes, I do, David and Carla. It's scoreless. 156 left here in the first quarter. Matt Ryan has already been sacked three times in this game, and the Atlanta offensive line had a holding penalty that negated a 40-yard completion to Julio Jones. That's one part of the Atlanta team that a lot of people don't realize, weak offensive line. When Ryan does get the time, 6 of 7 for 77 yards, has completed passes to five different receivers, including two to Julio Jones for 24 yards. And when I tell you that the Giants have three sacks, it's particularly shocking because the Giants have the least amount of sacks in the entire NFL, with only 7 all year, and they've got 3 here in the first 12 minutes. Meanwhile, Eli Manning against the poorest Atlanta defense, he's actually 5 of 5 for 44 yards. He's got a couple of completions to Odell Beckham for 31 yards, and he's thrown 3 short ones to Saquon Barkley for 13. So right now, Giants with the ball in their own territory at around the 11-yard line. So far, we are scoreless with 1:38 left here in the first quarter.
Thank you so much. That's Jeff Zell, our man on the ground. Monday Night Football, 0-0. Thank you, Jeff. So wow. Eli Manning is back. He's 5 for 5. So what was all the concern about?
Well, here's what Eli Manning needs.
Okay.
To just schedule the Texans one week and the Falcons the next and just rotate. Because he looks like a Super Bowl quarterback against those guys.
He was awesome against the Texans.
Wow, 86% completion percentage. Ay, ay, ay.
Well, he looks good tonight.
Yeah,
although
five
his team
for five.
Has not yet scored. And it's been a rough stretch for the New York Giants. I mean, the whole Odell Beckham Jr. drama and activity and everything he has to say every week, really tough. Saquon Barkley in there showing up well. But when you look at what they did in the offseason, it doesn't seem like there was a single decision they would want to make again, from the signing of Solder at left tackle to the signing of OBJ to the big contract to foregoing a quarterback at number 2 and taking Saquon. Their offseason right now looks pretty bleak.
It looks really bleak, and it's not just one thing, as you alluded to. I mean, they have four things I can point to. A lack of a long-term plan at quarterback.
Yep.
I mean, clearly they knew Eli was not going to be the answer for the long term. They didn't address that. A subpar offensive line. Deficiencies at the defense, although tonight they're looking pretty darn good. And honestly, let's just add the fact that management made Odell Beckham Jr., the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL, with nothing but highlight reels to show for it.
Well, that's right. He was always a good highlight catch.
And reality show quips.
But day in and day out. Tonight, he's caught a little of attention. He dropped his pants and did this for Randy Moss. He did a moon to Moss to sort of relive Moon. Well, it was, I guess, Randy Moss, if I recall. I sort of blocked it out of my memory. But Randy Moss had that famous touchdown celebration when he seemingly mooned the crowd. A mock moon, not a full-on moon. But today, OBJ did this to Randy Moss. Yes. So they're all having a little fun out there tonight.
They are having fun out there tonight, which is good because I don't think there's a lot of fun in the Giants organization. And it just, it looks like such a bad marriage to me between a true diva and Odell Beckham Jr.,
yep.
super, uber-talented wide receiver who apparently doesn't like water because it makes him all squishy, so
he
needs an IV. And you've got this blue-collar, tough, you know, first-year head coach for the Giants and Pat Shurmur.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't love that match.
All right, another team struggling thus far, Jacksonville. They're in a bad stretch. Their locker room is imploding.
Oh,
Jalen Ramsey,
wow.
who's been very outspoken, basically said that things are dark in that locker room and there's an issue in the room that nobody wants to talk about. Is he talking about Blake Bortles and the offense? I think.
Well, do you think?
Yes.
He was benched yesterday in the third quarter. I would think so. The
yeah.
guy that they just gave a three-year extension to in the offseason? SMH on that one. I mean, here's the deal with Jacksonville. It's not just that they have lost three in a row. That in itself is terrible.
Yep.
But, you know, they lost a close one to Tennessee, a real thriller, 9-6. Woo! But they got spanked by your Cowboys last week.
How about that?
Cowboys put 40 points on them.
Cowboys don't put 40 points on anybody,
no.
which is a really bad statement for the Jaguars.
It is. And then the week before, 38 from Kansas City. So they're getting, and then the Texans, you know, put 20 on them, and they do not have the most prolific offense I've ever seen. They're just getting absolutely spanked. And it's, I mean, I've got to blame Bortles. I've got to start it out there. And I know they've got injuries on their defense, especially with Calais Campbell and things like that. But I don't know.
It's a long, tough situation because they will not replace a quarterback easily, and it looks like the defense is getting very frustrated.
And did you like the look of Jacksonville when Cody Kessler came in as the savior?
No,
yesterday?
See, they don't have a quarterback on that roster. It's a disaster. They've got to go trade for somebody. Maybe they can call up the Saints and try to get Teddy Bridgewater, but I think that ship has sailed.
Okay, we talked about that. Let's just give it to the boss in the gloss here. We talked about bringing in a Teddy Bridgewater.
Yes, yes.
You know, even an Alex Smith. We
yep,
talked
in
about,
the offseason.
As good of a season that Jacksonville as a whole had last year, you know, just losing to the Patriots in the AFC title game, Bortles was still not consistent.
Yep.
And, I mean, this year we're really seeing it's not in every other game. It's every single game at this point. And,
right.
I, you know, I've got to believe he's lost that locker room.
Okay. It was the Texans who beat them. And the Texans, who started out 0-3 and now sit atop their division. They are 4-3 and they are in first place.
God bless the AFC South.
How about
really?
Those Texans? Come on.
I'll tell you what. And good for them. If you're going to be in a weak division, at least be at the top.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, you might as well do that for yourself. But no, credit the Texans.
Yes.
Hey, the defense really came alive yesterday. And the O-line did a nice job for our franchise in Deshaun Watson. One sack, a season low, one sack, and only 5 quarterback hits. That's astounding if you've been a Texas man and watching what's been going on with our, you know, franchise quarterback back there.
They still struggle with other elements, though. Red zone efficiency, they
Ooh.
Don't convert very well. They don't run the ball consistently, though they've had some good windows where they run pretty well.
Yeah, well, yesterday, great day for Lamar Miller. 100 yards on
yep.
22 carries,
yep.
which tells me, thank you, O-line, for opening up some great holes for him. He made the most of it, which was great. Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger.
Love him.
What a game. An interception, a sack, 5 tackles. Whitney Mercilus got his first sack. Zach Cunningham, a team-high 10 tackles, plus a forced fumble. And Jadeveon Clowney was a force. Number 9 was all over the screen with 2 sacks and 7 unassisted tackles.
All right, but what are you going to do with those pre-snap penalties?
Oh, they're leading the league with 25.
Why would that be? I mean, they don't.
It's called coaching. Coaching, it's discipline. That comes from the coach.
All right. Interestingly, after the game, Coach Bill O'Brien was quoted as saying, well, it's hard to win in the NFL. And it is hard to win. It's a competitive league, right? Everybody's angling for the same thing. But he talked a lot of heat for saying it's hard to win in the NFL.
It is hard to win in the NFL, but that's a guy that doesn't want to be held to the same standards that actually got him his job. Mm. You know, he took over a Penn State program after the Joe Paterno, Jerry Sandusky disaster. Really a tricky time. Did a fantastic job. Hold yourself to those same standards here. Having a 9-7 season as your best record. You're 35-36 in your time with the Texans. You're not quite yet at 500. It's hard to win in the NFL, and if you can't do it, don't stay.
So his record as an NFL head coach, what, now 35-36. Yeah, it's...
not quite at 500. And remember what Bill Parcells said. You are what your record says you are.
Well, he's a first-place coach in his division.
He is a first-place coach right now. That's why you got to love the AFC South. And, hey, you know, hopefully he is learning along with the Texans because he's got some really great pieces. They have drafted well as of late. I'm pleased with that. Don't let it go to waste.
Well, one coach who is struggling to win and win consistently in the NFL is head coach Jason Garrett of the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay, I want to hear about this from your, you know, very, very educated.
Well, of course, the Cowboys lost to the Texans in overtime, and then they lost yesterday to the Redskins in another very close loss. The one thing I'll say about the Cowboys is it always feels very close. They don't win by a lot or lose by a lot. The Jaguars game, the big exception. But they...
penalty on the snapper? Well, that was strange.
So it was a strange call, and it really might have been the difference between a loss and sending the game into overtime, at least, because it looked like Mayer's kick was going to be good at the 47-yard range, but when you pop it out 5 yards, he was not able to convert. The call was odd. The call was a setback, but to me, to focus so much on the call, if the Cowboys were to say, we lost because of the call... they're missing the point. I think the bottom line issue was so disappointing for Cowboys fans yesterday is that the Redskins dominated the line of scrimmage. Elliott couldn't get his run game going.
No, he couldn't.
They had no momentum. Those two defensive tackles in the interior of the Redskins line, Payne and Jonathan Allen, both Alabama guys, both number one picks, they were really controlling the line of scrimmage. Cowboys and their vaunted offensive line couldn't move the ball well. And then the inverse, the Redskins actually ran the ball pretty darn well with Adrian Peterson. Mm-hmm. The fact that Adrian Peterson would outgain Ezekiel Elliott is a real tell.
It is a real tell. And you mentioned something else, which is a real tell, is the close games that the Cowboys are having. So, yay, they're not getting blown out. Boo, they're close games. So what is that? I'm going to pose this question to you. Do you believe Dallas is playing to mediocrity? Like, you look at what happened with the Texans. They didn't go for it on 4th-and-1. They punted the ball in an overtime game. Are they playing not to lose, or are they playing to win?
Oh, the play calling, the clock management by Garrett has been atrocious. I mean, the end of the Texans game, they're in overtime. They were playing for a tie. They had a 4th-and-short. They could have gone for it. He punted the ball away, which really gave the Texans the chance at the end of the game to win the game. Questionable there. Yesterday against the Redskins, with plenty of time left and a timeout left and in Redskin territory, it was as if Garrett was willing to settle just for a field goal and send the game into overtime.
That's what I'm saying.
He's on the road. Go for the friggin' win. He had the time to go for the win. I guarantee you Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and clearly Garrett and Dak Prescott are not those two, but they would have gone for the jugular. They had a chance to go in and get a score, and they just settled for a field goal.
Yeah, I think that could really be Dallas's issue, that they're not playing to win.
Mm-hmm.
They're being too conservative with the play calling.
It's a little bit of, well, we know we have a good defense. Mm-hmm. We're going to slow the game down with a heavy dose of the run and Ezekiel Elliott, let our defense play well, and play a close game. But that's no excuse for the play calling and the poor clock management down the stretch.
No, I think you're right, and it's not working out well for them.
But Adrian Peterson yesterday, 99 yards, and he really looked like
a
spry young running back. It was amazing to me how well he played.
Yeah, that's incredible.
And Cowboys have done a pretty good job of shutting down the run against most teams they've played.
Mm-hmm.
But Peterson and the offensive line seemed to control the front. And to me, that was the difference. I don't want the ruse of the bad call to be if the Cowboys go off and think that was our only problem, then they really missed the boat.
Okay, I appreciate that in you because you are a Cowboys guy, and you know what? I would hang on to that. I'm a homie when it comes to things like that. So kudos to you for not blaming that call.
The punchline with the Cowboys right now and getting Amari Cooper is, look, they do need a number one wide receiver. Getting Amari Cooper will certainly be an upgrade to that receiving core, but it doesn't feel like Amari Cooper is a guy who can put them over the top. It feels more like a desperate move based on an immediate need. He's not, I mean, they just have more issues on offense than the receiving core. I worry that Dak Prescott isn't stepping up to the next level. Now, you can say it's a chicken and egg. Was it the receiver?
Well,
was
right,
it the quarterback?
That's what I would ask
so
you.
Getting Amari Cooper, maybe we'll get some clarity on what Dak Prescott can really be in this league.
And they don't have to pay him if they don't like what they saw this year. He's up for a contract year. So,
yep.
You know, right now he's currently in the concussion protocol after the game, but last weekend in London. But, yeah, I think he's going to do – I think he and Dak, you know, they're the same. They're very malleable. They're young. They've been in the league, you know, enough but not too long where they can be – you know, if they're in the right system, hopefully this will work for them. I'd like to see that happen.
All right, when we come back, I'm going to ask the Gloss a question that she's never been asked on radio.
Yeah, really.
A personal question. When we return on SB Nation Radio.
If I return.
It's sad to think. This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Jose, you romantic, you, putting on Gladys Knight. She's playing across the street here in Houston as we speak.
I was told to play Gladys Knight, so I play some Gladys Knight.
Very sweet.
I bet it's your favorite song, too.
It's a pretty nice song.
It's your ringtone on your iPhone.
It is now.
I forget.
Go, Gladys.
The sort of subtle nature of her voice.
I know, she's great.
So I have a personal question for you,
Gladys. I was hoping to get you off that topic.
No, Gladys didn't distract me. Okay. I still want to know something.
Her sultry voice did not distract you. Darn.
You do drink beverages. My question for you, when you drink beverages, alcoholic or non-alcoholic, what beverage do you drink the most?
Would definitely be water. I know, it's boring. Why are you making me sound boring?
Well, I'm looking at that huge water bottle over there, and I'm just worried. I'm wondering, will it make your stomach all slushy in a way that you won't be able to perform during the radio show?
I know. I'm glad you brought this up. I think this is the right time to ask you. Do you think we could bring in an IV port so I could just... It really, you know, I get a little nerves before we go on the air and don't need
Jose,
that.
Jose, she's a prima donna. How do you let her do this?
I think we enabled her too much, Mr. Gow.
Jose, do you not think I am worth an IV drip?
I think so, yeah.
Thank
but
you.
Your ego shouldn't be this big.
No more slushy water in your stomach, woman.
Exactly. No slushing for the Gloss, please.
All right. We'll be back for hour number two in just a minute. It's the Boss and the Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.